Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And also join us on the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Now, the following program has been pre-recorded in front of a live audience, so please forgive the occasional sound fluctuation. And now, here's David.
Wonderful to just feel the presence within and connect to it. Sometimes I feel I get the hard stuff to talk about. It's always been that way with me. I've learned to do my best to accept dealing with subjects that other people sometimes might find it a challenge to deal with. I saw someone the other day, and it was just so simple, who just made some circles, and a couple of the circles were the how and what of life. A lot of us just want to know, how do we get out of something? How do we deal with an illness? How do we do it? How can we do that? But we never sometimes go to the depths of the why. Of the why. And yet I feel that at an unconscious level, if not consciously, there is a why in all of us. Why me, Lord? Why my child? Why my companion? Why my family member? Why is the world in the shape it is in? And if we don't address these why questions, they tend to build up in the unconscious and subconscious part of us. And that is not healthy. That is not my definition of being healthy, is to hold in the questions about life and not understand them. Being raised in a religion as I was, I didn't have to worry about that at that time because it was all going to be given to me later when I died and went to another place, to a heaven, to another world. Then I would understand all these things, but I was never to understand them now. And in the direction my path has gone, it has sort of taken away that old perception of the other world and the afterlife is the answer. And that I've learned that everything that could be is now. That any heaven that I could go to is available to me now. Therefore, I have learned to come and with boldness of faith come in and inquire within this thing we call the mind, the cosmic mind, the divine mind, God, if you will. So I'm sort of continuing a little bit from last week for you that were here. So I'm going to begin again with a quote from Barbara Marx Hubbard that says, and I quote, "The lessons of evolution teach us that problems are evolutionary drivers." I prefer to always say challenges, opportunities. "And crises precedes transformation, giving a new way of seeing and responding to our personal planetary situations." So I want to look at three ways in which we experience life from our human experience. One we have called karma. Karma is just the principle or law of action and reaction. Or from the Christian text, it is what we reap, we sow. What we put out comes back to us, not as a punishment, but as a way of correcting and adjusting something within our life story. It's an opportunity. It's a wonderful thing. And there's many things that happen to us based upon this idea of karma. In other words, karma is to deal with the unresolved issues of the soul. We also come into the planet with divine purpose. We're not just thrown on this planet to see what happens in every case, but we come in with a soul purpose, a plan, a script. I remember many, many years ago of when I finally came to the idea, which is pretty early, that whatever God's word was not necessarily just something written in the outside of us in a book, in a text. So I wanted to search for where is your plan? Where is your word? Where's this living logos? This word that's not only universal and collectively, but also for each individual aspect of the soul that incarnates into a human experience. What is the plan that can make life better and happier? And I believe that those are called soul contracts. Contracts that are made and agreements that are made previously before we come here. So if you look at the idea of karma as unresolved soul issues, and then we bring in the great element of all of us that live on planet Earth, I read one time and I thought it was really interesting. It says, and Earth is the hottest piece of real estate in the universe. And the reason it's the hottest piece of real estate is because it is a free will zone planet. It is a planet in which we can make choices and we can choose. But we also choose before we come. For the scripture is very clear to say that we're found in God before the foundation of the world, found holy and blameless. So it does give us this idea that we have a pre-existence before we come in, that we just don't come in and flounder around trying to figure it all out, but we can get in touch with a purpose, a plan, a direction. And if we align ourselves with that, then we can live in a state of peace and happiness, no matter what the situation is. As long as we feel that at one-ment with the frequency in which we incarnate on into this world. So I was looking, if God has a book, and it's not entirely the Bible for Christians, or it's not the Torah, or it's not this, then where is God's book? And I was reading in the Bible. It's interesting that the Bible sometimes can teach you things that it's not, if people would read it right. And I was in the fifth chapter of Revelations, and it says, and John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which merely means that he was in his own spiritual reality at a particular time that something was happening. A great epiphany was going to take place with him. And he said, when I was in the Spirit, I found one sitting up on the throne. Thrones are always power. We talk about the 12 powers that we'll be talking about beginning the first of next year. Nancy and I are going to go through these powers. And he said, oh, I've heard that before. You wait. You haven't heard them from me yet. But power is our point. Our center of point is always represents the power. So he found his power, and he said, I found one sitting upon the throne, and there was a book written within with seven seals. But it said the seals were so sealing the book that the book was not yet open. Now, of course, I would love to think those seven seals are the seven major chakras of the body that have been sealed up, that need to be cleared and reopened and unsealed. I don't know, but it's interesting, there's seven of them. But it talks about this. I don't know why I'm getting you this, but it says no one opened it because no one felt worthy enough to do it. Said, and we wept because no one was worthy. And I think about so many of us that have come from schools of thought that taught us our unworthiness. That we're born in this original sin and we're unworthy and we've got to do this and do that to even throw ourselves upon the grace of God to be accepted. Then it says, but there was one found themselves worthy. And they stood up and said, wipe your tears, for we are worthy. That one today can be one, or it can be a collective one, a people who come from the heart and the purity. Blessed are those. Blessed are those that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we have karma, which means there's aspects of my life that are helping me to correct things that have not been resolved. If it has to do with relationships in our life, it will show up in the relationships of our present life, possibly. But here's what I'm trying to have you to see, that the fact that we have these unresolved issues on a free will planet, we can make choices before we come as to what part of those of that karma we want to work on, which becomes our contract. So I'm putting together all of them. Karma is an unresolved soul issue. Free will is making choices of what to work on in this time by entering into soul contracts. So I think it's time for us at this level of consciousness that we've been blessed to be brought to through metaphysics and new thought, through divine spiritual principles that are taught, to maybe take another look. To take another look. To shift our perceptions about many things that have influenced the way we have taught from some of the old ways that we have dealt with. I think that our first thing that we have to do, and one thing that we allow here at Unity and within New Thought, is the individual ability for every one of you to decide what is your relationship with God and how to define that relationship. Now, some religions define it for you, and that's what you believe, or you're out, so to speak. It's been defined for you. It's in the creed. It's in the dogma. It's in the doctrine. But I'll guarantee you, if I could give a slip of paper to everyone in this room and ask you, write down what God is to you, I doubt seriously if two of you would have the exact same definition. Because you've had your own personal experience with that God is. And I think that's important, that we all understand that we accept that freedom and that basic liberty. What I'm going to look at is some examples of some of the more difficult things in which we have to deal with and how we deal with them from a spiritual point of view or a spiritual perception. I'm going to talk about, for instance, disabilities. To talk about this, I'm going to ask you to leave all assumptions and judgments at the door of your consciousness. And before I get into this, I want it clear to you that I am not telling you this is the way you should think, this is the way you should believe. I am not trying to convince you that the way I see it is the way for you to see it. I'm just opening up the conversation because there isn't much conversation out there. My drawing to New Thought and to this spiritual environment, which we all share, for me, has not drawn me to hide myself in spirituality. I'm not here to use my spirit as spiritual sand to stick my head in the sand and totally go into a state of denial. I'm here to rise to the occasion. I'm here to grow. I read recently, as we enter later in life, into our later years, that we either have to choose to age or to grow. I'm choosing to grow. I'm not here to age and to look at what I'm going to do as I go toward the aging process, but I'm here to realize that I have the opportunity, as was so beautifully put for us this morning, that we can have a place to learn and to grow in consciousness. This is a great time for enlightenment, for understanding to be given to each and every one of us. First of all, we have to dispel the idea that being disabled is somehow a bad thing. Some disabled people are quite happy. Some are not, but many are. First of all, we have to dispel the idea of being disabled is a bad thing. That something went wrong, or someone is being punished. Or even in some cases, it's not to even do with karma in all cases, but it is a choice and a contract that has been made for a very spiritual purpose. We often assume that it is something that is wrong, something that is different. And we see different from ourselves as something wrong. That's one of the great things that's divided us and separated us on this planet, is if you're not what I am, then something must be wrong with you. If you do not believe like I believe, then you must be wrong in your believing. Because we in this world are constantly looking for outside validation. I need someone to tell me I'm right, because the things that we have made outside of ourselves that does not have the source from coming within ourselves, we are not as sure about. And therefore we look for constant validation that I am right. And to me, that's a different reason to why people gather. People can gather sometimes just to validate each other about something they're not really sure they know, but they choose to believe in, but they don't know it. I don't feel that here. I don't feel that we come here because we're all looking for some kind of validation of something we're not sure about, but I feel we're all connected to our inner paths toward being what I call enlightened about issues of life. When we look at a disabled person and judge their experience to something less than ours, we're actually doing them a disservice. I often get asked things like, and I brought one with me, and this is from someone who's asking. I kind of get it that we create our own reality, this person says. And I've actually seen evidence that in my own life, I have lots of resistance around money, so I'm poor. I can even understand how we create sickness. But what about people who are born with disabilities? Do they somehow bring it on themselves? I can't really accept that a baby is born blind or paralytic, did something to make that happen. Can you please shed some kind of light? And I thought, if this person is asking that, how many millions of people, even deep down, who don't verbally ask that, can't help but to wonder that when those things enter into our experience out here. The first part of the answer for us lies in our definition of God. As we have moved from the old anthropomorphic idea of God, big word, but it's an interesting word. Anthropomorphic means that we, the creation of a creator, have gone back and created a God in our mind that looks like us in our image. For we have created God in our image. Not that God has created us in his image, but that which God created in its image has now recreated God and made God something in their own mind. And we serve that creature more than the creator. Romans 1 says it. Do you get that? I'm going to say it again. We have a creator. What is that creator to you? I don't know. I call it an intelligence. You know, the whole story of Adam and Eve to me is the point in the human story where creation and evolution meet. Up until that time, there had been a slow evolution of the world of form. The physical world, the world of matter, has taken millions of years of slow evolving. But it finally evolved to a point in which it was able to match the vibration of creation. And creation and formation came together in that moment. And that's what I call creelution. And myself a creelutionist. There's too much of arguing this and that. You know, if you're a creationist, then you can't be an evolutionist. And if you're an evolutionist in a science, then you got to throw out all creation because that's too religious. But actually, we're living in a great time in which those have come together for us. And consciousness has been the result of that coming together of what's been forming and what's been created. And out of that is a burst of energy and intelligence that we know as consciousness. Finally, that consciousness makes it in 2,000 years ago at the right time when the right environment was set based upon electromagnetic fields and all kinds of things that was happening on this planet, opened up a portal and an opportunity for that consciousness to manifest to the one we call Jesus, who had the experience of that taking place, which was called the Christ. Christ is the experience of consciousness and form coming together. Today we call it Christ consciousness, showing us that we all have that ability within us to connect. I realize that looking at some of the things that we see pertaining to bodies can be a little difficult concept to wrap our head around. We can't help sometimes to just ask the why question. How many times have people set aside their religions and their beliefs because they could not accept the idea of a loving, all-purpose God allowing what has happened to happen individually and collectively on this planet? Now, either at that point, you just have to push it aside and just say, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to deal with it, or either you redefine yourself and that which you worship, which is what the evolutionary driver is all about, is driving us to that place in which we have to stop making things fit our preconceived ideas and hold them and capture them and imprison them within our limited belief systems and perceptions, rather than allow the challenges of new information to reshape us. I can't help but to think about children today who are coming in who are special. They're the special kids, which is a word for they got something a little wrong with them in their perception that something's not right. And we give them all kinds of names. They've got all kinds of letters, combinations, ADD, you name it. They got some letters for them. And all we want to do is try to make those kids conform to an old system. But just what if we shifted that idea that they have come in, are closer to the new way that we're heading for, and we would shape our systems to fit them? This is happening in every system out there. Whether it's medical, instead of the medical doctors trying to tell us there's nothing to do with energy, or energy bodies or vibration or sound that we all have to conform that our answers are in some pill or medication, maybe they should look to reform themselves to new ideas of learning how to diagnose energetically. Same way with religion. Instead of trying to hold us back into worship in retrospect, that everything about religion was 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years ago, that you've got to base it all on Joseph and Isaiah and Ezekiel and whatever, maybe religion should look at some of those who have incarnated in our time, who are divine spiritual beings that are here to drive us and evolve us into a new way to form our religions into something more loving and heart-driven. Maybe they should relook and revisit their doctrines of original sin, which is not mentioned in their text anywhere whatsoever. Do you realize in a survey how many people, intelligent people that we call educated people, who go to mainstream Christian religions and as well as other Jewish religions, in the survey 78% of them said the Bible said that Eve gave an apple to Adam. They believe it literally says an apple.
She was frank.
We've evolved ourselves in technology and science and many, many things today. But yet we have been left behind in the dust on many things that are truly a part of what can make us a better society, a better culture, a better planetary people. I believe there's two ways that people come into life. One is to be a blessing or to be here for lessons. I have said this many times that I'm not standing here in the consciousness that I have arrived to because of all the so-called blessings of my life of the last 50, 60 years. And I've had plenty of them. I can sit here and tell you testimonies of times that I've been healed, of broken legs and all kinds of things. But those were not the things that moved me. They were not my drivers. In fact, there's a part of my mind, whether it's the ego part of the mind or whatever, wanted me to take those as signs that I was fine where I was, as God's approval. This is why sometimes things step back and don't work miracles and don't work healings, because we go, oh, God must be approving me right where I am. But sometimes if things step back and things come into our life, it is something that makes us able to dig deeper a little bit. Think about your own lives for a minute. Why are you where you are in life? How did you get out from your own childhood religions and beliefs, the majority of you? It's because of maybe the pain, the chaos, the questions that could not be answered that drove you deeper and deeper. You read books that people warned you not to read. I remember in my desperation as a young minister and pastor in East Texas, in a very fundamentalist church, of being so desperate that I needed help so bad, and somebody told me about a book called Super Beings by John Randolph Price. I got that book and I'd go out in the cemetery and read it and then put it in the trunk of my car. If they would have known I was reading a book like that, I'd have been out as fast as you could imagine. But you know, I didn't care. I needed answers. I needed direction I was not getting in the state in which I was in. And I was being driven to cross my own boundaries, my own lines. What is my comfort zone? We have to be careful here that we don't even get caught. We can take the safe way. Or we can be a community that can be challenged and grow and mature and find the answers to help other people by finding the deep answers that people have about life. I went through my time, even while being a minister, of my anger with God. The God that I served. Because here's my idea of God. God was all-powerful, all-knowing. God was all-loving. And therefore, God would do whatever I ask in faith. It would be done. It was just that simple. Just that simple. All I had to do is ask in faith. Whatever you ask in my name, I shall give it to you. Anything you ask my Father, it shall be given to you. I just simply took that in simple faith that that's the way it's going to be. Well, it didn't take long to realize it wasn't going to be that way. And I stood where so many people stand at a crossroad where either I was ready to walk away from it all, it's not working, I don't believe it anymore, or I could go deeper. I could search for the answer as to what is this really about, this thing with God and Creator and its creation. And I'm thankful for that. At the time, it wasn't fun. I left a lot of people, family, friends that I've known, the church that I loved and was raised in. It didn't fit anymore as I started this journey of trying to understand what it was all about. I had to find the answer. Anger. So, in the next few minutes I have, and I haven't even started, I was relating this to Deborah the other day when I was talking about this, and I said, "No, I can relate it, and I've done this before here, it's not the first time. But it's my experience. My experience was with my own daughter. My daughter started wanting to walk very, very early, as I did. I was 8 months old and I was ready to go. I was running for Jesus at 8 months. And so I remember the time I said, "Okay, let's try this." And I got her up by the hands, and it was amazing. She just walked so good and whatever. And I was so surprised in myself. But something deep within me, without even thought or without decision, let go. Plop. I'll never forget the big tears that rolled down her face. And she looked at me like, "How? You're my daddy. How could you let me go?" I felt really bad too, but so I got her up, we got going again, she got confident again, walking along, pop, I let her go again. I thought, "Why am I doing this? I don't want to do this to my child, I love her. I want to be there for her." This time it wasn't tears of being sad and disappointed, it was, "All right, what's going on here, Daddy? Thought you were supposed to be here for me." But I saw something as I look back. I saw that anger turn into determination. And I, looking back, I thought this is exactly the stages that we go through on a spiritual level. We go through times of feeling sad because God doesn't just show up like a butler or a magician for everything that we want with the magic wand and go poof, bing, bing, this is going to happen. And then you go through a stage, and I've been there, where I just got actually angry at God. Angry at God. But you see, that was a part of recognizing my own self-determination, my own inner power. This is a part of growth. growth. Growth is when things step back. I was raised around religions in which I saw tremendous miracles. I cannot deny the miracles that I saw growing up in the Pentecostal revivals of the 50s under Oral Roberts and all of the big evangelists and thousands of people. I cannot deny the things that I saw. I thought that's just the way it was. It was miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. It's like a magic show. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I had to adjust to something different, something new. I had to either go away from it or grow into it. Are you hearing me? I had to grow into this new experience. I had to raise my consciousness to match the experience that I was having. And that's when I started studying the deeper things. Maybe things don't mean just the way I think they mean. Maybe things aren't just the way it is as it is written. And that opened me up to the idea that maybe there was deeper meanings within what we are being told in the written texts. And then I read a place, and it was so simple but yet profound to me, and it's as it's translated in the English text, and Jesus saying, "My words are in parables." And I thought, oh my God, they're not the parables, they're in the parables. Now only the Holy Spirit could have done that for me. I would have never taken something as simple and subtle as that statement and understood that things were very much had a spiritual application. I didn't know the word metaphysic at that time. I just called it a spiritual application of the written word. One woman came up to me and said, "I don't believe in this. I'm a literalist. I believe everything in the Bible is exactly as God said it." And I said, "All right, what kind of door is Jesus? Is he a screen door? Is he a Dutch door?" She said, "Oh, no, it doesn't mean that." I said, "You got it. You got it. Now you have to explain it to me what the door means. How metaphysical is that?" And then by 1980, something came into my hands called The 12 Powers by Charles Fillmore. 1980. I was co-ministering between Peoria and Decatur, Illinois. And I began to teach that in that little church. I never heard such a thing about those 12 disciples and those 12 powers. I'm trying to show you that there's a path. There's a way. And oftentimes when I would get stuck and think, I found it, this is it, then something would happen that didn't feel real good in my life. Why me, God? Lay off. But now I can look back and say, but I made a contract. Don't let me get stuck. Make sure that you bring somebody into my life that's a challenge, some wrong relationship, some situation that is not pleasant, so that I can continuously be driven toward my path and toward my destiny. I was telling Nancy, I just listened to a little cassette tape in 1994 where I said, I just had lunch with Randolph Carey and Nancy. And it was an amazing experience. I'm still trying to find out what it was. Nancy wants to know what the experience was in 1994. At that time, we were talking about me and maybe coming to Unity. Around that time. Yeah. And I said, no way. I'm not interested in being part of any organization. I don't join nothing. And I don't care for Charlotte. Too much traffic. All I saw was 77. I said, that's it. I don't think it was 485 much then. I don't know. But it was pretty bad here. That's one thing I could not take. I said, no way. And then I can tell you from that time, I've had challenges physically, back surgery go wrong, move me from here to there, Indianapolis to Columbus, Columbus to Little Rock, Little Rock back to Dayton, Dayton to Hot Springs, and finally in Hot Springs, something happened and Nancy says, got a deal for you. Because you see, Nancy and I, at some point, made a contract to do this very thing we're doing here. Come on, somebody help me. Made a contract here. My destiny was to end up right here in Charlotte and in this place, and I would not have just on the surface chosen to do that at the time, but life and how life has unfolded itself has moved me to be exactly where I am today. And I'm saying this for you too, that life has moved you to be exactly where you are in your life today. And you that are going through things, and I got to close this down, are going through things. It's a physical thing. If it's a mental, emotional thing, it's a finance. I'm walking now. I'm down here, so get ready. I'm down here. If it's a relationship situation, if it's a career or job situation, I want to leave you this morning. I want you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. This is your time for you to understand that there is nothing happening in your life that is not an opportunity for your growth and to learn compassion. I would have never had the compassion for somebody who said to me, I have been diagnosed with cancer. I've been told that most of my life. But over a year and a half ago, by having a third of my lung taken out and cancer taken out of me, when somebody says that to me, some compassion comes out of my heart that I never had before because I've had the experience and I'm ready to meet them at the level of experience. Take all of the things that you've been through and realize they're the most spiritual, positive, powerful things of your life that has prepared you to become a blessing to those who are a match for your life. We're all the ministers and the light workers that are ready to be out here for creation as it begins to step up with all of its questions and wounds and hurts. And they are coming, people. When I was told that New Thought would be the midwife for the next exodus of people coming out of man-made dogma and organized religions, that we were to get ourselves together and get prepared to receive these people who will be wounded and will be hurt because their own religions has not worked for them. We must be ready to be there to mend and to heal and to teach them that the God that they think failed them out there is the presence of the God that was in them waiting for them now. I'm back up here now. Oh, join me. Let's just do a thing here. I know it's a little late, but this is worth it. I'm going to do something called opening the eye of enlightenment. I want you to go within, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. You can look at this and laugh first if you want to. Some of Deborah's work. We're going to open your eye. When the eye is single, the whole body is full of light, the teacher said. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in as you open your heart, for the heart is the portal of the Holy Spirit. It's the way into your inner soul. I know that those of you here that are going through some challenges and issues, we're not here to ignore that. We're not here just to be a feel-good church. But we're here to help you to face these situations from a spiritual point of view. To see how they can work in this idea of God being omnipresent. One power. You can't exclude anything. You have to embrace it. Of course, the miracle says that the ego have made bodies with eyes not to see. But I'm not going to open those eyes that can't see. I'm going to open the eye that can see deeper into your situation this morning. If you're here with a diagnosis of some disease or some illness, see beyond it. See beyond the words. Cancer is just a word. The names of diseases are just names that they give things. They're not those things. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you open the eye of enlightenment of those that are gathered here today, those who are viewing us from television and YouTube and all of those that will connect to this service today, to open their eye of enlightenment with its inherent ability to see through all illusion, to see through the hidden agenda of even people, places, and things, to see through all appearance, to see the heart of all matter. The intent of the situation mentally, emotionally, physically, the situation of a relationship that's gone wrong, a career that is in jeopardy. Take the veil from off of us and let us see things as you see them, through the eye of the Spirit, through the eye of God. Open our eye of enlightenment. This morning. Now just allow it. Allow it. It already is. It already is. Just allow it. As you leave here today and you go back into your everyday mundane life, may you see things a little differently. Your circumstance. It's not that God has to take it away or change it. It's about us fitting the circumstance, not the circumstance fitting our expectation. See, that's how it's rigged. If it doesn't fit my expectation, then God has failed me. My prayer has failed me. Something is wrong with me. No, you fit the situation. Embrace it. What are you telling me? What are you saying to me? Body, talk to me. Kidneys, talk to me. Lungs, talk to me. Pancreas, talk to me. What are you saying to me? Oh, we thank you, Holy Spirit, right now for this wonderful experience. So we just all say, amen, amen, and so it is, so it is, so it is, so it is. Oh, it's... I want to thank all of you so much for the jumping class. We are running about 50 people every Wednesday. That's half this congregation has shown up for the jumping classes. And we're halfway through. You can still jump in. Every Wednesday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday evening at 7. You can attend any. Some are attending both, believe it or not. But you are welcome to do that. So God bless you, and thank you so much for your time and your consideration on this subject. I just want to say, when you see someone who is disabled or something is wrong, don't feel sorry for them. Don't, that's a judgment, because you don't know their experience. You don't know what their experience is. You don't know what they're doing that is furthering the spirituality and the enlightenment of those, even in their lives. Things are just not as they appear to be. Bless you.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
Oh yeah.
You can't be God-given, no matter how you try. Just as sure as you are living, heaven on high. The more you give, the more it gives to you. Keep on giving, because it's really true. You can be God-giving, no matter how you try. No matter how you try, just as sure as you are living, the Lord is in heaven on high. The more you give, the more He gives to you. Keep on giving, because it's really true.
I gotta sing it one more time.
You can't be God-giving, no matter how you try. Just as sure as you are living,
the Lord is in heaven on high.
The more you give, the more He gives to you.
Like a choir. We just think you're a choir. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program, and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.